So today we have the privilege, I'll let each of you say a quick hi as I introduce you, of bringing back three of our fantastic Limitless alumni. These are people who have been in the program and who stood out to us as just exceptional examples of people who were able to do the Limitless program and do some pretty incredible things in their personal lives as well. So first we have Kathy Curtis. Kathy, if you want to give a quick hello, they can see your face. Good to see you. And we have Gabe Nelson
Hey, everybody.
and Steph Bruno. You can say hi, and then you can
Hi,
pop.
good morning.
Awesome. So each of them today, what we're going to do is Liz is going to kick us off, and Liz is going to share a little bit about for her what personal ownership has looked like and walk us through an exercise. And then Steph, Gabe, and Kathy each are going to take about 15 minutes to share how they've achieved a work-life well-being balance and what some of the most important things for them on their journey has been and how that has impacted them while they were with Limitless and since. So Liz, I will turn it over to you. Take it away.
Awesome. Well, happy Monday, everybody. It's great to be with you. And just to start out our conversation thinking about work and well-being and how we come to some sort of integration of both of those, I thought we could start with just taking a moment and thinking about all of the responsibilities that we hold. And so, what I invite you to do in this moment is, as we're getting into this conversation, set aside everything else that you're up to, close your email. And give yourself the gift of this moment, this time to just consider what's on your plate. What are all of the things that you're juggling at this moment? So get a little piece of paper and a pen, or on your computer, you can type it out and just think through and write down. This can be in list form. This can be a specific tasks that you're up to right now that are top of mind. This can be categorically like family members or faith community or other things that you are up to or have responsibilities with. I'm going to give you a full minute of silence. I love the personal interaction, and for those of you who are off camera, it is really helpful to see your faces and not just necessarily fathom note takers. So that always helps the speakers know that you're engaged and interested in what's going on. So as you think of this list, how does it feel to look at it? You're welcome to jump off mute. And into the
It's a
conversation.
lot.
Yeah, a lot. And does that a lot have a sense of pride with it or angst with it? Like, what's the emotion that comes up with it?
Busy. Like, yeah, I'm doing a lot. Yeah. So both pride, but also like, yeah, taking stock, you know.
Yeah. How does that resonate for the rest of you? Just yeah, that resonates, not so much. So I'd love you to for I invite you to go back through your list there and take a moment and give a little plus sign for the things that feel good. Like I'm glad this is my responsibility, or that this is on my task list. I'm excited to do this. Or maybe a negative for it, like this is kind of below the line for me right now. And you don't have to assess why, it's just below the line. Give you 20 seconds to do that. All right, next, I'd love for you to go through the list and write down important or not important. We'll go through it one more time. You ready for me to move to the final piece of this? Okay. Okay. It's actually not the final piece. I lied. There's two more. All right. So one is can control or cannot control. All right, and the final piece is, if this applies, only I can do it. So me or others could possibly help. All right, I would love for one brave volunteer to come off mute and say, just what do you observe with your list?
I'll go ahead and step in. For me, it's all, a lot of my stuff is just on me. It's a lot of it centers around family work-life balance right now. Just as a little aside, I'm trying to, trying is the key word, plan to take November, December-ish kind of part off so I could watch our daughter, who's 7 months now. So my wife can go back a little early to work just because mat leave up in Canada, it's 12 to 18 months. And so she's getting to about 10 months and not enjoying it as much anymore. So I'm trying to give her that opportunity to go back. But at the same time, you know, I've got a lot going on in the business, so I'm feeling very pulled in a lot of different directions, and all of these things kind of fall under, you know, things I want to do in the business that are, again, all on me, things I need to do at home, again, all on me, and trying to balance all of those two. They're all well within my control for the most part. Yeah.
I love that example, Christian, just in the way that you're speaking, the all on me, this is what it's that I'm hearing you state. And this is part of the work balance conundrum, right? Especially as super responsible financial advisors, we kind of like when things are all on us. Like, I'll be your quarterback. I'll be the person to talk to the estate planner and the CPA and the. I'll be the head of my kids' PTA, because then I can organize and do the thing. Mm-hmm. And this is not directed specifically at you, Christian, because this is my story, like not those exact things, but yes, as a financial planner. But there's a way that we like, that we rely, that we find a lot of meaning from putting ourselves in the dead center for others. And so my suggestion here is, how come? For you to just tease out, like, why does it have to be just me? How come I can't delegate to someone else or rely on someone else to step up for the PTA? What is it about the silence in the room when someone asks for a volunteer and I'm scanning around and I'm like, oh yeah, Liz Hand, solution right here. Pick me. And they're like, oh, thank God, Liz. She's so organized. She'll see us through. She's pretty strategic. She's so friendly, which I am, all of those things. But why me? And so my portion of this work-life balance is to really challenge when we're putting ourselves at the center and when we're allowing others to step up and to witness them fumble through things because we haven't given them the chance to fumble through it before. So maybe it's your child as they're getting ready for the day and they're like kind of half putting on their clothes and they're taking a really long time, but them learning that, that's a skill. Or perhaps it's your assistant that you've delegated something to and they come back to you and they're like, I don't know how to find this piece of information. And instead of picking it back up and saying, okay, I'll save the day in this moment, you say, I trust you can do it. Here's where I might start. Go forth. What is possible for you if you start integrating that into your day to day?
Freedom.
Say more.
What?
Say more, please.
Just freedom from the, I'm the only person, I have to do this. Nobody will do it as thoroughly. Like you can, you'll be free of that tension, that responsibility, that time suck. All of that.
So Michelle, just with that reframe, can you look back through your list? Is there any place where you can loosen the grip a bit?
Yes.
Cool.
I certainly can loosen the grip. I just have to loosen the grip.
And what's between you and loosening the grip?
It's that story that we all say, I can do it faster. I can do it better. I'll just get it done. Don't want to ask for help. The stories that we all tell ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And what's like, as and this is not necessarily for you, Michelle, unless you are so inclined to answer. Like what's the hook for it for you? Like what's the story that gets you snapping to attention? Is it that I can't ask for help? Is it that, like, which is the most potent one for you? I can do it more efficiently. We don't have time for this. They look like they're struggling. I saw that head nod, Sam. Anyone else have thoughts? I am too, it's too important. And I hear that so much with financial planners specifically, like within the work, I can make zero mistakes because it's just too important. If I'm losing this mistake, what does that mean for the reputation of the rest of my business? It's both and, not just one or the other. So just with the time that we have left on my little piece of this, I'm excited for you to hear some of the other approaches to work life and well-being balance. But for this portion, go back through your list and give yourself an experiment of one place where you can loosen the grip. Or if you're feeling really daring, just say 1%. I'm going to loosen the grip 1% more every day. And with that, if you can put it in the chat, where is the place that you're loosening the grip? Or what's the experiment or challenge that you're taking on for yourself this week? Lots of delegating, love it. And what will you do when that person comes back and says, I'm confused. I don't get it. I don't think I can do this, or I can't find this piece of information. What is your response? I've seen you do great work and you can do it. Tell them I trust them and encourage them. Not take over. Mm-hmm. So if it was worth $100, could you figure it out? I love that. The other piece as you are taking this on as an experiment is just notice what happens for you kind of viscerally. What does it feel like when someone comes back to you and is like, I can't figure this out, or we need a volunteer. Is anyone available to do X? Like, what happens for you in your body that kind of is the hook that makes you lean forward and say, oh, Liz Hand, pick me. I'll save the day. Witness that feeling and just start noticing when that feeling is starting to trigger in different areas. And I'll tell you for myself, where one place I am starting to loosen the grip is this type of setting where I come and I should probably have all of my notes figured out in this exact thing. It is trusting myself in the moment to just speak and to follow myself instead of having everything perfectly tidy, and trusting that, yes, I'll probably fumble through something or I'll misstate something or something won't come out quite right. Someone might have a reaction, but ultimately, there's at least a nugget that someone can take and carry forward. So just wanted to be transparent in my own angst today as I'm getting ready for the conversation. Okay. Allison, that takes me to my time, correct?
Yes, it does.
Love it. Thank you, Liz. If anybody has questions, I guess there's really a minute. So if anybody has specific questions, I could address those right now too.
Okay. Feel free to speak up if you think of any or put them in the chat. We'll have an opportunity for you to engage with the coaches in a little bit as well. We're going to go to breakouts with them too. So you'll have an opportunity to ask any questions or get any feedback there as well. We'll turn it over to Steph Bruno now. Steph is going to talk about her morning ritual. So Steph, take it away.
Thanks so much, Allison and Liz, of course, always wonderful to have your insights. I learned a little something today, so and I'm going to delegate right after this session. So I want to talk a little bit about morning routine, but I want to talk more about why, because I think that's important. I mean, you're saying like, well, I already told you I have, you know, work-life balance issues and it's hard for me. How am I going to incorporate a morning routine? And I think the why is the biggest piece. If we are in a place where we're feeling so much stress and we're generating a lot of cortisol and we're not able to get things done, you know, part of what we need to do is focus on the future state. What is the state we want to be in the future? Because if we keep focusing on where we are now, we're focusing on the past. And so having a morning routine, whatever routine that you design, and doing, taking some time for yourself. And I'm not perfect with this. I can't imagine having a small child. That's going to be hard. I got a puppy last year. I couldn't even handle that. It threw off my morning routine. But I know myself when I do this, and I learned this in Limitless, I just come so much better in my day. And also, I'm so much better at what I do if I do my morning routine. So while I might have taken time away from doing some important task, when I show up to meet with my clients, I am more present for them. I am doing a better job. That in the long run is going to get me much closer to my goals than putting through some withdrawal request or reviewing an estate document today versus tomorrow. So I just want you to try and think about being open to incorporating a morning routine at whatever level that you can do. I think maybe it might have even been Michelle who last year when I did this for one of the sessions said, you know, I just, and I don't know if it was you, Michelle, or not, I just, before I started my day, took some time to take like 5 or 6 deep breaths, right? Before I ran out and took care of my child and my husband and all the stuff I had to do, I took a minute to just start my day off with some deep breathing. And then that set me up for success. So it can be whatever you want. I'm going to share with you some ways you can incorporate it. And I'm happy to talk through these, and I'll promise to get you out on time of my session. So we talked a little bit about it before, and I think staying above the line is important. That's one of the biggest things I learned from Limitless. It totally changed my life and even how I run my practice. I think I'm having a little bit of an internet issue, so apologize here. But I try and focus on those items that are above the line for me, and staying above the line. So one of the ones practices that I've used is the Miracle Morning. Now, this book is old. He has an updated version called Miracle Morning for Millionaires, which I'm not as much focused on the money piece of, but it is a little bit more updated, but it tends to be the program that I follow. So, you know, the first piece of it is silence. So trying to come up with whatever is good on silence for you. So that could be breathing. It could be meditation. For some people, it's prayer, but really just sitting still. And I find when I sit still, I can really listen to my inner self and make better decisions about the things that are important. So I try and do this throughout the day, not just in the morning. And, you know, as we talked about, like, we're really busy, so how do we make time for this? I love the little quote here. It's like, you should meditate for 20 minutes every day. Unless you're really busy, then you should meditate for an hour. So the people who are the busiest need it the most quite often. So getting to that future state, that's why the affirmations are important. And I don't mean affirmations into like la la land. I mean, really want to think of the things that we want to have happen in our life and put those in place. I like this app. You can actually record your affirmations in your own voice, which is great. Your brain reacts to this. I play them every morning. So, you know, I can just listen to them while I'm doing other things as well, but it just gets me to the state that I want to be in and helps get rid of those, you know, 98% of negative thoughts going through my mind. It's more forward focused on here is the place I want to be. This is the life I want to create. So ThinkUp is a great app. There's a free version and a paid version. Also, Dr. Kenner said we write out our affirmations in cursive. It creates a better connection with the mind as well too. So you could try that if you're a journaler. I'm not a journaler. So I think this is the big piece, the visualization. Like, what do we want that state to look like? And you can even take it down to, what do I want this day to look like? It may not go that way, but I know, like, if I have something going on and have an important meeting or something, if I take a few minutes to visualize how I want that to go, it generally goes much better. So same thing we know as in terms of sports, how that can happen. You just want to create that image in your mind. So what I'm always looking at is, what do I want my life to look like? What do I want it to, not just in 5 years, what do I want it to look like now? And try and create that image and make it as real for you as possible. So even if you just take a minute out of your day to do that, it's great. I'm going to go over this piece because I know Kathy's covering it, the exercise in many ways. Reading is also part of the morning routine. Now, you can do reading. I tend to do listen podcasts because it's easier, or listen to books because I am usually multitasking when I do this, but just to save time in the morning. So I'm listening to something that is going to grow me in some way. So again, I don't want to be in my current state. I want to get to my future state. I'm not content with where I am. I think one of my affirmations is like, I love the life that I have while I'm creating the life of my dreams, right? So there is a piece that's still out there for me, even though I feel like I've got a really great life. But listening to podcasts or reading, you could also use Blinkist if you want to just kind of cover some of the cliff notes on books as well, or just to enhance what you can provide to clients, right? Reading a Michael Kitz's article, doing some CE, but just incorporating that a little bit each morning does make a difference, as opposed to having to set aside like a whole day to do that. And then scribing. So I mentioned I'm not a journaler. For some reason, I'm just not. I know a lot of people talk about the benefits of journaling. So one of the pieces that I use is the 5-minute journal, and you can use written form. I actually use the app now. It's right on my phone. It's very easy. It starts with gratitude. So three things that you're grateful for. So thinking about what you already have in your life and trying to attract more of that into your life. There's a lot of studies of people who keep gratitude journals are more happy. They're more optimistic. And you're also more likely to stick to your other routines or habits that you're trying to put in place too if you keep a gratitude journal. So both of these are, one's the app for the 5-minute journal and one's the actual journal. Literally, it just takes 5 minutes. And then after the gratitude piece, it's sort of like, what will you do today? Right? Like not some what needs to happen to me, but what am I going to do today to make it great? So, you know, maybe it's going to complete this project. So this, you know, this client is happy and then I can move on. It might be, you know, I am going to hold my daughter and sit with her for 20 minutes today and do that. It's whatever you want, personal or business. And I tend to put them all together because our lives are like that. And then, you know, what's on your mind? What will you do better tomorrow? So that's more the end of the day. There's two parts to the 5-minute journal. It's sort of the beginning of the day and the end. So you can look back and say, what would I do differently? So I'll give you an example. I developed a situation where whenever I would have alcohol, even just a little bit, it affected my sleep. And I noticed in my 5-minute journal, a lot of times I would put, you know, on the days that I had alcohol, I wish I wouldn't have had that glass of wine or something like that because I didn't sleep well. So it led me to take a year off from drinking alcohol. And again, I've not had an issue, didn't drink during the day or didn't drink every day even. But just noticing that habit led me to take that year off. And in that year, I felt so much better that I just never went back to having alcohol in my life because I sleep so much better, which then again, allows me to show up and be more present the next day for my clients. So those little notes of what will I do better tomorrow? And sometimes it's like, oh, I wish I would have been more patient with my husband, you know, like I was snippy with him today. So it reminds me that I can do things better as well too. One of the things I would just encourage you to do is come up with a routine that is good for you. So, you know, the morning routine can be an hour, but it could be as small as 6 minutes if you do each one of these things for just a minute. Or, you know, like what the one mom said, just taking 6 breaths in the morning before you run into your day and become totally reactive and doing some, I'm going to be here now. I'm going to be present with the things that I need to get done and do. And I would encourage you to, you know, to pick someone, maybe somebody on this call, or if you've got a coaching buddy, and try and do it for 30 days and see if you can't do it for 30 days. Also, maybe link it to an existing habit. I know for me, even I gave up alcohol, I absolutely love coffee. And so I don't have my coffee until I've completed my morning routine. So it makes me very much that reward of having that coffee in the morning is I do my morning routine and then I have my coffee. So those are just some of the things I wanted to share. And, you know, I'm grateful to Limitless for helping me put this in place as well, because I didn't have this sort of practice in place before that. And I'm happy to talk through questions people have or challenges. They're hearing this and it sounds like, gosh, you know, I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm open to that as well too. What do people think? Well, Kathy, you don't have to wait on the coffee. That's just mine. Anybody else have a morning routine that they would want to share or something that's helpful or something they've implemented that's made a difference?
I'm happy to share if nobody else is going to jump in.
Great. Go ahead, Christian.
So I have a short morning routine, fluctuates a little bit with two young kids. They can really, one thing I've learned, especially this past year, is that you can't be too fixated on having this big, long routine that really gets you, that really throws you off if the kids wake up early and kind of disrupt it. So for me, it's just a little bit of stretching. Part of, I do some affirmations, and one of those affirmations is about being a healthy, active person. So if I'm not going to the gym that morning, usually I go around 6. If it's, my wife will sometimes go at 6 as well, so we alternate. I'm not going, I'll do some stretching. I'll do my affirmations. I have an app called Rewise. So if I've read any books, all my highlights get pulled into that. So I'll review about 8 of those. Just again, to kind of get the brain flowing again and get back into some of the things I've read recently, maybe that I've forgotten. And then really it's just taking some time to myself. The big part of the reason why I get up as early as I do is just to have 15 to 30 minutes, depending on when the kids get up, to myself, to just eat breakfast slowly at the pace I want, with nobody screaming or wanting me my attention, no Miss Rachel or any toddler shows in the background. So that's been a big part of mine, is just to have that little bit of peace and quiet, but keeping that routine short enough that I can get it done quickly. I'm not getting up at 4:30, and if the kids do get up a little earlier, it's not too disrupted at the end.
Christian, kudos to you. That is wonderful. I mean, if you can make that happen, that's just unbelievable. And I think you're right. You got to do what works for you. And it sounds like you've come up with something that gets you started in your day like that. I also saw a lot of great comments in the chat too. Anybody else want to share?
I'll share that.
Great, Joe. Go ahead.
I start my morning by meditation. And I do it in a different way. I don't use any technology or an app. I just do it on my own by breathing. And I actually started doing it in January because of Limitless, from the advice of Limitless. I actually read the earlier book about the Your Pal Hal. I read that in January as part of the reading list. So that was very impactful for me to do that. And I feel that just being centered and focusing on breathing really helps me. And then afterward, I will journal a little bit, anything that's on my mind. It's usually just stuff I need to get out of my head that's not a positive thought. And I put it in the journal, and then it's gone for the whole day. And then I could focus on the big items for the rest of the day. And then as the first hour of my morning routine continues, I'll do some stretching. I'll do a little bit of reading, and I'm looking at my phone for at least the first hour that I'm awake. And I just felt like I'm very centered and very focused and very tasked at what I need to do throughout the rest of the day because of starting it, you know, quote unquote, getting out of the right side of the bed.
Yeah, that's wonderful, Joe. Thanks for sharing. I'm glad Limitless had that impact on you. And a very important point that I love that you shared was, don't look at your phone. The minute you look at your work phone, you're gone, right? Maybe even your personal phone. So I don't check email at all before anything. So great. Well, we are out of time. I'm going to turn it over to, I believe, is it Gabe that's next?
Gabe next, yeah.
Okay. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Stephanie. Allison, should I take it away?
Okay, Gabe, over to you. Take it away.
All righty. Hey, everybody. Thanks for allowing me to share some stories with you. I am going to start with a story. I came to Limitless in 2019, an absolute mess. And my practice was a mess. I had way too many clients, way too many unprofitable clients, was working way too much without a real focus. And so I came into Limitless like hanging on every single word, and walked into the Dallas retreat. I can still remember it like it was yesterday. I'm sitting there and Stephanie gets up and she says, you know, here's the secret to the practice and the life of your dreams. And she says, you just have to decide. And I sat there, and if there was thought bubbles going on in my head, it would have been bullshit. I was like, no way. It's not that easy. And so here I am, you know, geez, what is it? 4+ years later. She was right. She was absolutely right. You just got to decide. And then once you decide, you got to take action. And what I mean by the take action is you got to decide, okay, what does my ideal week look like? What does my ideal practice look like? What is my vision for everything that I want to try to do? And then you got to start to take action to put those things in place. So I left that retreat and I'm like, all right, fine. I'm going to see if I can make this work. And so I started to hire staff. I had no staff at the time. I went and hired, and I may have talked to some of you before about using virtual assistants. And I can explain that later as well. But what I basically did is I sat down and I said, okay, what does my ideal week look like? What does my ideal life look like? What does my practice look like? And what are the things that I really want to do? So that exercise that Liz started at the very beginning, I didn't check any boxes. I didn't do anything because I was looking at him going, I'm doing everything I want to do. I got one thing that I haven't delegated off yet. And that's just because I don't have the people in place to place trades for me. I've delegated literally everything other than talking to people, which is all that I want to do. And so, but that took 4 years to get done, to really get it to that point. So this is not like you decide and it's there tomorrow. You decide and then you start to take action of all of those things. And it's amazing. Once you decide what your ideal week looks like, you start to have questions that come up like, what do I need to do to make this happen? Do I need to hire somebody? Do I need to get rid of clients? Do I need to change the way I do things? Do I need to get up at 5 o'clock instead of 6 o'clock? Do I need to sleep till 6 instead of getting up till 5? Like, what does that look like? And then what'll start to happen is you'll start to have questions come up and answers will start to come in front of you. Like, maybe I should try this. So what I started with was hiring a virtual assistant. And when I hired that virtual assistant, I was the king of delegation immediately. And I tell everybody there was 10 years of pent-up delegation involved. So I came in and my contract was for 10 hours a week. I blew the doors off of it with 40 hours on the very first week. I mean, I just like my overage fees were brutal. So I was like, okay, we got to redo this. So I just started delegating everything I possibly could to them to start to get down to the things that I wanted to do. And then basically, you know, one of the other things that kind of came up that really helped me start to get that work-life balance, other than deciding and taking action, came into place when the pandemic hit. Everybody remembers going through the pandemic as a financial advisor. I mean, that was like our Super Bowl. It was like, we are on, and it was time for us to like really step up. And that was when my major morning routine came about. I had started the morning routine and followed literally almost everything that Stephanie was just teaching. I mean, all of those steps. And I can still remember, here's another story for you. So I'm on a snowboarding trip. I got a buddy I go snowboarding with every single year. We're in Tahoe on the day the market dropped by 10%. That day, everybody remembers that day. I can't remember, was it March 9th or whatever it was? I'm on the chairlift. Anybody that's a skier or a snowboarder or a motorcycler or whatever, you know, you've got these things called ODT chips that you can put inside of your helmet so you can listen to music the whole time that you're snowboarding or skiing or whatever you're doing. And I'm going up the lift on the first couple lifts of the day and the market is dropping like crazy and my phone is going absolutely nuts, ringing like crazy. And I got clients calling, they're freaking out, and I'm on a mountain snowboarding and I'm freaking out. And so anyways, I basically get done with the day after dealing with phone calls and trying to enjoy a snowboarding day and get back to the condo. And I literally drank myself to sleep. I mean, I was absolutely hammered. Woke up the next day, brutally hungover. And I'm like, oh, shit, I got to get myself together. Oops, sorry, Allison. And for those of you that don't know me, there might be an F-bomb that'll sneak out of me. I apologize ahead of time, just so you know. So I wake up the next morning and I'm sitting there and I'm like, I got to fix this. I got to wake up and be ready for my clients. And so I literally that day I quit drinking for like 2 or 3 months. I started my morning routine and my morning routine was this: 5 a.m. wake up, get a workout in, meditation afterwards, read in a devotional. And then hot tubs are the best. They're not the worst. They are the best. And then read in a couple of different books, 10 minutes each time, make breakfast, get my family out the door, and then, you know, get cleaned up and get to work. Now, I'm not dealing with what you're dealing with, Christian. I've had those days already. My, you know, two of my daughters are already out of the house and one of them's a senior in high school now. So I've already done that. Wake up at 5 a.m. to get your workout in so that you can be with your kids and go from there. But I basically created this really kind of solid morning routine because I wanted to make sure my head was clear and I was ready to go. And so I'm not telling you anything you haven't heard, but the biggest thing that I'll tell you is just sit down and really think about, okay, what do I really want my life to look like? And then put it together. Every single one of you is a financial planner. Every single one of you knows how to create a financial plan. every single one of you also knows how to create a life plan so that you can go, here's what I really want to do. And then what are the steps that I need to put in place? Do I need to hire somebody? Do I need to get rid of clients? What do I need to do so that I'm ready to face the day and live this life? This financial advisor life that we live is, it's probably one of the greatest lives I ever could have imagined. And Limitless just kept putting things in front of me. So all the way back to that day in Dallas, when I looked at Stephanie, I'm like, you're full of shit. No way. Come on. But she wasn't. It was true. And so I basically just followed the steps and just kept adding things. So now I've got a practice where I, at the end of 2019, I'll just kind of give you a little bit of an idea. I had 425 households running it all by myself. All right. I went from 425 at the end of 2019 to 260. So I got rid of about 40% of my practice at the end of that year. I'm whittling it down, trying to get to about 150 households right now. I'm at about 185, which over time, I've just continuously used all of the principles and all of the things taught, raising my fees, getting my structures and everything in place to be allow us to do the things that we need to do and have a great life. So I'm down to about 20 to 25 hours a week of work per week is how much time I work. I start about 8:30, 9 o'clock. I'm done by 3:30 or 4 o'clock almost every day. Hey, Christy, how are you? It's nice to see you. Make dinner every night for my family, breakfast every morning for my family. Play golf once a week. I don't miss a single thing in my kids. I never will. And basically have created an amazing life using all of these principles and things that people kept putting in front of me throughout my 3 years in the Limitless program. So I don't know that I have much else. I'm pretty happy that I did not drop an F-bomb. So we're doing great.
Amazing job, Gabe.
It's a challenge.
All right. Any questions for Gabe? We have a minute or two before we jump over to Kathy. Okay.
What were the most knee-knocking decisions that you made?
Most knee-knocking? I think the thing that scared me the most was the cutting out 40% of my client base. I think that was the piece that kind of scared me. Hiring staff, trusting staff, delegating. I took that on and had no issues whatsoever. And like I said, I sat my staff down at each people that I've hired, and now I have two virtual assistants. I have a front office one and a back office. I basically said, your job is to figure out how we can make it so all that I do is talk to people. That's the goal. So that has never been a scare, but the scare was dropping my practice by 40%. I thought, oh gosh, I'm going to lose clients. And, you know, raising fees scared the crap out of me in the very beginning too. That's a piece of cake. You just got to do it right.
Quick question. Who are you using as your virtual assistant?
My front office virtual assistant is from Athena Executive Services. My assistant, her name is Jennifer, and she is absolutely amazing. She handles everything on the front side of my practice, everything from my calendars to my emails to my scheduling of all of my appointments, handles the sales process all the way until someone becomes a client. And then she turns them over to my back office, which is Total Office. You guys have probably heard of both of those companies. My assistant's name is Vicky. She's an absolute amazing assistant, and she's been with me for 4.5 years now. It's been a fantastic relationship, and they've done a great job. Welcome.
Gabe does have a lesson in the library, a virtual staffing lesson that is really, really good, where he goes through and shows the organization of how he's outsourced. So if you're curious about that, that's a great lesson. There was a lot of good information for how he went through that process there. All right. Awesome. Any final words, Gabe?
Just decide you're going to do it. Even though it threw me off when I first heard it, just decide you're going to do it and then start to put your plan in place. Every one of you knows how to do it. You just got to decide you're going to do it and then do it. And trust the people that you delegate to. Trust me, they're way better at doing most of that stuff than you are. Your most important thing is just talk to clients. Everything else can be done by people who can do it way better than you.
Awesome. Thanks, Gabe.
Yep.
All right. Next, we have Kathy Curtis. Kathy, how long ago were you with us, Kathy? Feels like it's been a few years now.
Yeah, I think it was 2018 to 21.
Yeah.
I think around there, 3 years.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, take it away, Kathy. What is your big idea for your work-life well-being balance?
Okay, great. I'm really excited to be presenting to all of you today. It's bringing me back to my time at Limitless, where I learned so much. And I got a lot out of this. Liz, is your session just this morning, I wrote down a couple of things I need to do. So it reminds me how important it is to get good coaching along this hard journey of being a financial advisor. So my one big idea is, and always has been in my life, is exercise. Exercise and body movement. Exercise has been my therapy, my joy, my lifeline for as long as I can remember. It always leaves me feeling more focused, energized, happy, and I make it a true priority. I'll just tell you one story because it really has been a part of my life for a long time. When I was in college, I joined a sorority on the urging of some of my good friends. And I was really hesitant to do it because that wasn't in my family background. I really didn't know what it was all about. And I thought, oh, I can't do that. I did it. And sure enough, I felt a little out of my element. Little bit insecure with all those well-groomed women all over the place. And so I started to use food as comfort and started to put on a few pounds, which in college, as you know, is not a good idea for your self-esteem. And so at the urging of a good friend, I took up road cycling and I took it up in a big way. I started training during the week, you know, short rides during the week. And then on the weekend, we do much longer rides. And before you know it, the pounds melted off. But really, truly, it wasn't only the weight loss. It was the feeling of accomplishment I got every time I completed one of those grueling bike rides. So that got me through a really, really difficult time in my life. So we all know this, though, right? We all know that exercise is really key to a good life. In fact, there's so many studies that have been done about it. And this is a point where I'm going to share my screen. Hopefully you can see this. And this is how I truly feel about exercise. Exercise is a celebration of what your body can do. It really is. So there's been a lot of studies using, you know, human beings, massive studies. And this is what the studies have boiled down to this date. In order to get the health benefits from exercise, which are many, you don't have to do that much. You have to do a moderate intensity aerobic activity. So definitely get your heart rate up at least 150 minutes a week, which is only 30 minutes a day for 5 days. No big deal. And then also it's important to get the weight training. So 2 more days of full body weight training. Or the other option is to go a little more intense. Get some vigorous intensity aerobic. This is more like the cycling, swimming, biking. And you only have to do that for an hour and 15 minutes a week. I find this hard to believe. That doesn't seem very long to me. But like I said, there's been a lot of studies done that this will give you the health benefits of exercise. Now, what are those health benefits? Big time in cardiovascular health. I mean, the statistics on how much it can improve your cardiovascular health are huge. I'm not quoting the percentages because it really depends on your genetics, your body, all these things. But granted, we all know heart health is super important and exercise is definitely something that can help that. Weight management, exercise is great for maintaining your weight. I know for me, after I took off those pounds in college, I have never gained weight back. I've maintained my weight all throughout my life. Weight loss is also possible, but you have to have some calorie reduction along with the exercise to really get weight loss benefit. Enhanced mood and well-being, hands down, the endorphins are a definite outcome of exercise. I know that. That's why I do it so much. Better sleep. The sleep studies lately have been amazing how important it is to get a good night's sleep. I know, especially for me, when I go for a hard swim, I sleep like a baby. Reduced risk of other diseases, such as some kinds of cancer, type 2 diabetes. The studies have been shown exercise reduces the chance of getting those diseases. And then, of course, stress reduction. I'll tell you another personal story about how exercise helped me in a major stressful point in my life. And you may relate to this. I'm a solo advisor, and I was struggling to keep up with everything. And like Gabe, he ended up doing the virtual thing, getting help that way. I decided I was going to merge my firm in with a bigger firm. I thought, okay, it's time to do this. I was reaching that point, too many clients. I didn't want to hire. I've never wanted to hire a big staff. That's never worked for me. And so I was recruited into a firm by a woman who I really admired. And I kind of got sucked in and I didn't do my own research. And what happened was I really didn't understand the culture of the firm. And so I joined the firm, and about 6 months later, I realized I made a dramatic mistake. The culture didn't suit me. Just one little example, the president insisted on 8 a.m. mandatory Monday morning meetings. And that's not my thing. And then the first 15 minutes, everyone would talk about college football because there was a lot of guys in the firm, which isn't untypical. And that didn't interest me at all. So, you know, there was a few things that said to me, this is not going to work. They didn't want to do financial planning. They led me to believe I would lead a financial planning effort. Wasn't true. They wanted to just do asset management. So regardless, I was really stressed. And to get me through that period, I took up swimming in a big way. I swam every single day for at least an hour. And swimming is absolutely one of the best exercises for increasing endorphins and calming your mind. It's very meditative. That swimming got me through that period. I ended up merging out of that firm and going back to having my own firm, repapering on my clients a whole bit, which, as you can imagine, was not easy. So I exercise is what I attribute to me getting through that. Now, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Too busy to exercise. I know a lot of you have kids. Anytime someone in a Limitless group talks, it's about this stress between spending time with your family and meeting your client needs and meeting your own personal needs. That is a real thing. I do not have children, but I know enough to know. I have friends with children that it is a true hard issue to tackle. But I want to argue that getting your body moving in whatever way works for you will make you a better parent, will make you a better spouse, will make you a better advisor. I truly, truly believe this. So I'll tell you how I do it. So I look at my calendar every night and I see my schedule. Dave, I do it night before. And I figure out when can I fit in my hour of exercise. I put it on my calendar and I stick to it. I do it. For me, generally, the time ends up being between 3 and 5 in the afternoon because I tend to book all my appointments in the morning. I am not a morning exerciser. I've learned that. But if that's the only time available, I will do it in the morning. I do a variety of exercises. I do a lot of balance and agility training like Pilates, yoga. I swim, I weight train, I do the treadmill. Those are the things that I love. And that's important to find something you love. It'll keep you going. Excuse me. I work out every day, except maybe one day because I know I need to rest. But tell you the truth, I prefer to work out every day. That's how good it makes me feel. As I've gotten older, I realize what I don't want is to injure myself. I don't want to do a kettlebell workout or lift weights and be down and out for 3, 4, or 5 days or weeks, which has happened to me. So I've learned, I've learned to not stress myself too much, to get balance in my workouts. And I've managed to do that. I know Limitless has the calendar blocking. If you don't like the idea of doing this the night before, I would use calendar blocking. And I know that you use that like weeks out in advance. You go to your calendar and decide when you're going to do certain things. This is when you could slot in your exercise, is during that time. So let's say you're still saying to me, I really don't have time. She could talk all she wants, but I just can't fit that in with my parenting responsibilities. So I'm going to tell you about a 10-minute workout that I do, and a lot of trainers recommend this workout. You start out getting yourself, your body warmed up. And that's really important because cold muscles are not going to work as well. And you start by doing lunges. And we all know what lunges are. You do a few reps of those, 10 to 20 reps per minute. This is really good for hip mobility. And then you do 10 to 20 reps of squats. Oops, where's my squats? There. You all know squats. This is a really good, efficient glute exercise. And then you do glute bridges. This is a great one for the glutes and also for the abs and a lot of other things. And then you do the point. Let's see, where is that? There. You do the point exercise, which is great for people who sit at the computer all day long. This one's a great one for full body. If you just do those 10 minutes a day, they're easy on your body. As long as you have your good form, it's important to protect your knees doing all that. That would get you way ahead of your exercise game. So some resources that have motivated me are The 4-Hour Body by Tim Ferriss. It's a great book because he is focused on the busy person that doesn't have enough time to exercise. And he's big on kettlebell workouts, which I love kettlebell workouts, but I get injured doing them because I've got a weak shoulder. So again, like I said, you got to pick a workout that works for you and will keep you injury free so that you keep doing it, because consistency is everything. Another resource that I have loved is a website called Daily Ohm. It's a wellness website, and they have classes on all kinds of things, mind, body. I love it for their workouts. They target different body areas. Like they have an inner thigh workout I love, for men and women. These are great for men and women. They have a abs workout, a glute workout, so you can just focus on one body part. This is a great way to vary your workout so you don't get injured. Like you focus on one body part one day and then another body part another. I also just downloaded the Dance Bit app, which has little dance routines you can do throughout the day. It's fun. If you don't like the idea of exercising, dancing is a great way to get movement in your life. That's a fun app. And then doing my research for this presentation, I found a book, which I love the title, Becoming a Supple Leopard by Kelly Stewart. I don't know if anybody knows of that book, but I've downloaded it now. I'm going to read it. It's about how to train without injuring your body. That's the whole premise of the book. And then Nike has a great training app for more routine types of apps. So I know there's tons more. In fact, I would love to people in the chat to say what they found, or even jump in right now and just share what you do, because I think there's hundreds of apps, there's hundreds of books, there's hundreds of ways to get exercise in your life, and it would be great if we could all share. So anyway, I love this quote. the only bad workout is the one that didn't happen. And I'm a true believer in that. To bring exercise in your life will bring you a lot of joy, make you feel better, look better, reduce stress, so many things that will benefit you in your busy life as, you know, devoted parents, being a really committed advisor. And for me, a real important thing for me is being a good wife. For example, one reason I don't work out in the evening is because I like to have dinner with my husband. And so you need to make your workout routine work for you. So if anybody has any comments and or would like to share some of the things they do to motivate them, I would love to hear it. I'm going to see the chat, if anybody's in the chat.
Hey, Kathy, I have something. Jill Hansen.
Yeah.
How are you? I talked to you once a while ago.
I'm great. Thank you.
I once heard, and somehow I can't make my camera work right now, but oh, use video. I once heard that two things. Working out first thing in the morning is key. And the hardest thing about going to work out is getting the stinking workout gear on.
Yeah. Oh, you're so right. I agree.
As soon as I put that on, I feel so much better.
Yep. Well, one trick is I don't know if you're doing in-person meetings with your clients, but just wake up and put your workout gear on.
And yeah.
I mean, right now I've got workout gear on, but I've got this top on top. You know, Oprah does that too. She wakes up, puts her athleisure wear on. That was one of her tips about getting exercise in. But I agree with you. And also laundry, like always having clean workout wear. So I have multiples of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I think too, that checklist helps. Like, you know, that the checklist that they used to send us in Limitless, that where you can check off all those things that you do during the day, that the habit journal, I guess is what it was called.
Yeah.
Just like being able to check something off, like even if it's 10 minutes, you know, if it's 10 minutes or longer, it's a game changer, absolute game changer for me.
Yeah, I love that tracker. I forgot about that. I'm going to have to pick up the tracker again. I've used that also to reduce my amount of drinking.
Me too.
I haven't quit, but I'm not drinking as much because of it.
You mean alcohol?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I give myself, if I have zero drinks, I give myself one check or two checks. If I have one drink, I give myself one check. And yeah, anything over that, which doesn't normally happen, but yeah, I agree. Same thing.
Yeah, it's a very helpful tool.
Awesome.
Well, I think my time's up. Thank you all for listening.
Thanks, Kathy. That was great. We really appreciate those tips.
Thanks, Steph.
Yeah. Sorry I missed so much of it, Kathy.
Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to give you the next 20 minutes or so to join breakout rooms with Liz, Steph, Gabe, and Kathy. I'll open the rooms and you can go into one, come back to the main room, go to another, and then we'll just circle up for a few minutes at the end for any final thoughts. Hello, everyone. All right. I think the other rooms are just wrapping up here. Okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome back.
We had too much fun talking in there. Oh my gosh.
Awesome.
Stop talking when you moved us back in.
You know, I'm rude like that. I just interrupt people mid-sentence. What was your, what was the fun part, Kathy?
Well, I know the two, we were only three, but I know the two ladies that came into the breakout. And so we caught up a little and we just launched into, you know, they asked me a bunch of questions about what I'm doing. It was really fun. And hearing about what they're doing, and it was great.
Yeah. We're gonna get Kathy to raise her fees.
Their fees are higher than mine.
No, it was really fun.
Once a member of Good Vibes Tribe, always a member. Okay, Liz, do you have any parting thoughts for us? We have just a few minutes here.
Something that came up in our session was just talking about really challenging those stories that we tell ourselves. And what showed up for us is like, I have to figure this out. I have to map out a plan. I have to over explain. Like, there's a lot of ways that we still put that on ourselves, especially when it comes to staff, right? Because we want to make sure that they're functioning well. And there's always flip it on them, away from yourself. Like, what do you see as the gap here? This is the place I see as the gap. Here's the feedback I need to give you. What do you understand about this situation? Okay, these are the places that I heard you missed. Instead of like trying to there's just a lot of energy and effort that goes into trying to solve for all of the possibilities, putting all of our effort and energy to map out a plan. That's what we do because we're planners. And what if you live like moment by moment, you lay a brick and then they lay a brick. And then eventually you guys have a building that you've built together, a cathedral. Can you pause for a moment, flip it on them? What do you understand? How would you like to solve this? How can I partner with you? So.
Awesome, love that.
Yeah, that was Liz. That was something that Tanya called me on back in like year one of Limitless. She was like, I was trying to solve all the things. And she's like, who do you think you are solving all this? You suck at that. Like, she's like, put that on your team. That's why you're paying that. But I was like, oh. So yeah, we don't have to solve it all.
Right.
Okay, Steph, Gabe, Kathy, any parting thoughts?
I've just got one and then I'm going to hop off. I've got a client meeting here that starts right now. The other thing that really kind of added a ton of work-life balance was meeting surges. Meeting surges opened up all of the time throughout the year other than those meeting blocks. That was absolutely amazing. So I got to go. Thank you, everybody. It was great meeting you all. Have a fantastic rest of the year. Take care.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
And I'm going to be the counter to Gabe. I'm going to say not doing meeting searches gave me more balance because then I was able to do the things I needed to do each day and show up to those client meetings and be really present. So I would say listen to yourself, right? There's great advice, but figure out what works for you and don't feel pressure to do surge if it doesn't work for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Steph. Okay, Kathy, any last thoughts?
Yeah, this stems from my little mini breakout is make sure you get paid what you're worth. One of the benefits is that maybe you could take on fewer clients because you're getting a good full pay from every client you have, and that creates better work-life balance.
Yeah.
Note to self.
Good point. Okay, awesome. Well, thank you for everyone attending, and also a special thank you to Liz, Kathy, Steph, and Gabe for joining us today.